Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 57 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Welcome.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Erin.
I just saw you yesterday.
I saw you too.
For the last time until December. Well, not the last time, well, but...
not the last time you'll see me, but the last time Erin gets to come to our knitting group until December.
I was under the misconception that class started on Thursday, which is 2 days from now. Today's Tuesday. And it actually starts tomorrow. So I thought I had like a whole rest of the week off to get ready. And
nope.
I gotta go tomorrow. So it's good I have like my ID, my parking permit and everything.
Aww.
Yeah, it's fine. And one of my 15 books.
Oh.
The rest of them have been shipped. So they'll get here. I don't think most professors are... under the impression that most college students come to class with all their books the first day.
Yeah,
anyways.
That's true.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about knitting.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. When last we met, I was a mess. I don't know what my problem was, but I went home, I told you all about how I could not...
you wanted to cast everything in the world
on the cornflower shawl.
Yeah.
And I went home, and I was like... I think I let it sit there for like a day or two, and then I was like, I'm going to take care of this. And I just ripped it all out until I got to the first increase and started again. It was fine.
Yeah. After you talked about it, I was like, well, I wonder how hard it actually is. I sat down and did it, and I was like, what's her problem?
I don't know what my problem was. Even when I did it, and I was like, what the hell was my problem? I don't know. You know, I mean, I think I said in the last point, because sometimes you just get stuck on things.
I think doing it on a plane is probably a bad idea, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what happened was I made some goof up at some point, and it just kept me... and I kept having to figure out, like, oh, what's wrong here? What's wrong here? And it always takes me a little while also to get into a pattern to sort of go, oh, okay, I see what we're doing here. So now it's like, I barely need to look at the pattern. I still need to look at it when I'm on the increase rows. Well, actually, not even so much on the increase rows, because I just look at like, wait, was I supposed to increase here? No, because I just look at my work. But, you know, you got to knit a little bit of it before you get that feel for it and the rhythm of it.
It took me a long time.
And, you know, otherwise I find I'm like, I look at the instructions, I knit. I look at the instructions, I knit, and not so much I look at my knitting and I knit. And somewhere I had some... anyway, I'm fine now. I got moving on that. I felt better, but I did also think, like, I need something new. So I started... I found out... My cheap excuse was that I found out one of the women who worked at the kids... the after-school program that both of my boys went to, and it was a woman who'd been teacher to both of them... just had a baby. And I asked my son, like, oh, well, what do you know? And he said, all I know is her name is Abby, and she's very small, and everyone says she's cute. So I'm like, okay, baby girl. And I had just favorited on Ravelry someone's project. I don't remember the Ravelry who did it. It was the sweater is called Lilla Kofta, which is, I think it's little jacket in Swedish. And it is just like a dead simple little seamless round yoke, top down baby sweater with a garter yoke and garter edges. And this person whose project I favorited had done it in stripes, the garter section in stripes, which I thought was really cute. So I was like, okay, and it's big gauge too. It's like 4.5 to the inch.
Oh.
So I just dug into my stash. I still have a ton of All Seasons cotton from Rowan in a million different colors that I've used for a gazillion projects. And just pulled out some colors I liked and just went to town on that. Finished it a while ago, woven all the ends. I glued down all the ends with a little fray check because, you know, cotton blends just like to move. And then took me like a week to finally sew the buttons on. But I sewed the buttons on last night. It is officially done. And then I was like, what else has been lying around here that I could work on that would be easy? And so I picked up Fast Forward, which probably the last time I mentioned this to you or to listeners was after our April retreat when I had knit for like, I thought it was supposed to be like knit and rib for 81 rows, and I knit instead for like
in
forever.
Right.
In shelter, yes.
Yes.
So I've recovered from that goof up. I'd finished one side, so I picked it back up, knit the other half, and once I got, you know, actually decided to work on it, it's really quick knitting. And the cable part, it feels like, oh, it's a big cable section, but it's like less than two nights worth of knitting for me to do the cable sections, and it's intuitive, and it's a nice big chart. It's really easy to work on. So I finished that last night at knitting. That was sort of my, like, I'm staying until I'm done with this. So I did that. But in part of my, like, I just want to cast things on, I went home and cast on for the Striped Study Shawl in Yummy Toes from Miss Babs. And so you got literally, Sock Summit,
right?
Yes, that I got at Sock Summit. So I bought like some of the mini skeins to do different color stripes. But I literally cast on, I think I'm on row 7 or something, which means I have like 12 stitches, you know, something tiny, and went, okay, this is really dumb to start this new thing when I have this other stuff. So I've set it aside and gone back to other things. But then my younger son was like, my sweater doesn't fit anymore. I knit him one sweater that he wore like every day last winter. So I brought him to the shop, and I was like, what? Showed him the Cascade 128 superwash, which I knew he'd like because it's nice and soft. And he picked out the exact same colors. He wants, like, the ruby red, color 893, if you're playing along at home, and black for the edges. Just a plain raglan. He doesn't want me to do anything different, so it's like,
that'll be cozy.
Okay. Cast on. We went on a little road trip over the weekend, so I cast on Friday, and between driving to Portland and back, I've knit the whole body, and I've started on the sleeve. On one of the sleeves. Sorry,
I should move that when you come over.
I always hit Aaron's ball winder here on the table. No, I should learn to not talk with my hands so much, but I've never been successful at that. But anyway, so so I've got a ton of that done already. It'll be like bing bang boom. It'll be done. So,
sweet.
Yeah, big gauge, and I think that's everything I'm working on right now. Still kind of, you know, working on Hexapuffs whenever I'm stuck at a meeting or something.
Cool.
What are you knitting?
Well, let me see what I finished. Because last time I had just started my... That was a motorcycle. Last time I had just finished my Dipped Infinity scarf. And I finished it, and I love it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, that was a fast project. Yep.
It's very pretty.
It's great. And I finished the cephalohedron that I was working on. That was super fast, too. And then I don't think I even have a project page for this. One of the girls I work with at my day job had found this, like, store-bought fingerless mitt.
Oh, right.
In, like, beige acrylic yarn.
Yeah.
And she's like, could you knit another one of these? And I was like, oh, not only can I knit one of those, I could knit them and make them better.
Yes.
So I got, I dug into the clearance bin at work and got two skeins of Cash Soft Erin in this, like, purple, that really nice purple color.
Yeah. Aubergine.
Yeah. And, like, wrote up the little pattern, and it has, like, a little welt on the side where you put buttons, and I found the perfect match buttons, and, like, knit that all up and gave them to her and took pictures, so I can put a thing up on Ravelry. I should do that.
You're a little busy. It's okay.
Yeah. So I, like, made the pattern up based on the one she gave me.
Yep.
And made it better. It doesn't have a seam. I knit it in the round. And she is going to, like, the Zelda Orchestra Symphony thing that's in L.A. for the 25th anniversary of Zelda.
Oh, no. Like, Legend of Zelda?
Yeah. She's a gamer. So, she's going to that with her mom. She's very young. She's, like, 22.
Oh.
Okay. So, she's going to L.A. for the first time, I think, ever. And she's going to go see this thing. And she's going to wear the little gloves with a scarf, like a fancy scarf she has that matches. And she's super excited about it. So.
That's very cute.
And her mom was like, because her mom works at the clinic, too. And she's like, those are really nice. Like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, it's like, I'm going to have to make everyone's stuff before I leave.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's okay.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, but they're super nice. Okay. And she gave me, actually, Alicia, the girl who I knit the mitts for, I gave them to her. And then she came back later that day and gave me a Starbucks card with a bunch of money on it. So
nice.
And I was like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She was like, no, it was super nice. They're exactly what I wanted.
Oh,
so,
that's nice.
And I finished the Simple Flats from the Fickle Knitters ebook that I was working on last time. They came out a little bit long, so I wasn't really paying attention when I was knitting them. So I'm going to send them to my sister. Because she wears a size and a half bigger shoe than I do, so they'll fit her perfectly.
Oh, good.
And then I knit a Noro hat, which also doesn't have a project page, in two skeins of Silk Garden. That is going to be a Ravelry, free Ravelry download as soon as it's testnet.
That is an adaptation of a pattern that you created for the shop that's like welts of reverse stockinette and stockinette.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it's slightly slouchy.
And then slouchy, yeah.
The one I knit for the shop, though, is like on huge needles because it's a big, thick and thin yarn. So it looks, it's a different look.
Yeah.
But I love that color of Noro that I use.
Yeah.
And I've already worn that hat like 3 times because it's like someone flipped a switch and it's fall now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good. That's what I finished.
Mm-hmm.
That list is going to be so much smaller once class starts.
Yeah, oh, my that's God. Do you knit when you're in class?
I don't know.
I don't remember if you when you took your other classes.
I didn't because there were only like 8 people in the class.
Oh, you felt
and
a
I felt
self-conscious
about it. She said I could, and I was like, there's like 8 of us, and 2 people dropped it, so there were actually 6.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I feel like I need to be a little more present, like, for that. But we'll see. There was like 40 people in the classes, so.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm working on the cornflower shawl. I'm into the chart B section. Something I don't care for the way the charts are written. I find them, I can't wrap my head around them for whatever reason.
I haven't actually used the charts on that one. It was because the written instructions are, I mean, I just kind of need to glance down periodically.
Right.
Usually just for the increase row.
Right.
Well,
it's not really like an eyelet lacy pattern. So I don't feel like the, like the charts, lace charts for me, like the visual representation of them in the chart are like what I see in my knitting.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the same thing with this chart. With this, I'm not using the charts in it.
Yeah. And no, are you still in the slip stitch part? Or have you gotten into a lacy section? I can't remember what happens in the
I'm in chart B part. And you're doing where your slip stitch parts start branching and create three new ones.
Right.
Yeah, where it gets wider.
I'm almost there. I think actually that's what I need to do next. So.
Yeah, and it's kind of confusing.
And actually, that was one thing that was screwed up, though. I wasn't really paying attention to how many repeats I'd done, and I just paused for a moment, counted my stitches, and saw, oh, I missed a couple of increases.
Yeah.
And I held my knitting up, and I could see where I'd missed some yarn overs.
I did that, too, and I just
I kind
left
of
it.
Fudged it a little, yeah. I just sort of faked it. But I needed to fake in enough
stitches
so that when I go to
the
next chart. That's why we're double knit twins.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It was like 2.5 inches back, and I was like,
I know. I'm not going back for that. But I got to, you know, fake it so that I have the right number of stitches when I get to chart B. So I think I've got like 1 row to go, and I need to throw in like 1 or 2 extra stitches in there that I missed. So.
Yeah. So I'm in chart B for that. And I'm knitting the Bailey cardigan by Amy Christoffers.
She listens, so you got to say her name right.
By Amy Christoffers.
The last time we put up the podcast, I saw on Twitter that she's like, oh my God, Double Knit's talking about me.
We're talking about you again.
We're talking about you.
I love this cardigan. I'm knitting in Barocco Ultra. I'm sorry. I did shots before Jessica came over. I didn't. I'm just really tired.
Yes. Ultra alpaca
in
charcoal gray.
And I am like 3 rows away from splitting for the sleeves because it's knit from the bottom up and you go back and forth and then you know, split and knit the fronts and the back and then you knit the sleeves and sew them in.
So sleeves flat and then set in, or?
The sleeves are knit in the round to the armhole.
But then
or the arm side.
Set them in.
And then you. The cap. Whatever. You people know what I'm talking about. And then you knit it flat. That's how the Acer cardigan is knit, too. And that fits me, my arms, really well. I mean, they were smallish, but now, after it's gotten a lot of wear, they fit perfectly.
Okay.
So it's a really good sleeve. I said arm construction. Sleeve construction for me.
Aaron's tired. Yeah.
God, I woke up at 6 and I stayed up late reading my book, so which we'll talk about.
We'll talk about it.
So that's awesome, and I can't wait to be able to wear it because now it's getting cool enough to wear stuff like that outside. So, and I'm what's called Chadwick Jr. It's the Pearl Bee long fingerless mitts that are single row stripes.
Oh, yeah.
I removed 12 stitches.
Because they look really
They're slouchy. They're super... yeah. It's like 60 stitches.
That's a lot.
With no shaping, and 48 with no shaping is, like, perfect for my hand, yeah. And a bunch of other people have made that modification. But I kept the 19 stitches for the thumb gusset. Mm-hmm. And those are in the same colors as my Chadwick.
Ah, I see.
Which is why they're Chadwick Junior. It's Chadwick Junior,
okay. So just using up some leftovers for that?
Yeah.
Yay!
And I just wound it into, like, I weighed it on my scale and just wound it till I had half the yarn of each of the colors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just knitting them on magic loop, and it's awesome.
Cool.
I have one done.
Yay.
I'm holding up my hand like it's on there. It's like, not.
They can't see. You can...
No.
Okay, forget that. I know.
That's pretty much it. But so, new stuff that came out?
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about... there's a new Petite Pearls that we were just looking at. And I think we're quite charmed by all the little vests and cute children.
Yeah, they're like two... There's this one and this one. Two boys' vests.
This one and this one. That's very helpful for our listeners at home.
I'm so freaking tired.
Okay,
so yesterday I had to walk all over UW campus with freshmen scattered all over the place. It was like roadblocks. It's like in a video game when things like jump out at you and you have to like jump over them. But it was freshmen. I was just like... It was kind of rainy and I had to walk like way down to the parking permit place and... down Pacific, and then like way up to get my ID, like opposite ends of campus, all these roadblocks, freshmen in my way, and then wait in line with like people who didn't know what paperwork they needed and stuff. I'm like, God, people, internet, it's all on the internet. It's like when I went to the college for the first time and you had to stand in line with your little card and like,
oh honey,
and you had the paper catalog.
Yeah, when I realized, well, I had heard from someone about registering for classes by phone, and I was like, wow. And then I realized...
That was only priority registration when I first went to school.
Oh, people can register online. Because when I registered for classes in college, you had to sleep out on the quad to get entered in a lottery. Oh, my God. I went to college in the Stone Age.
But, you know, that information is now available on the internet for you to look at to be prepared. But I think freshmen have no idea what they're doing. They're, like, frightened.
We were catching up on the Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend, and Peter Segal was talking about how TSA is talking about possibly changing the regulations so people no longer have to remove their shoes to go through security. But then he was talking about the fact that, like, he can't believe how every time he flies, people are like... Really? I have to take my shoes off?
It's been years.
It's been like 6 years. But then Franklin was just writing about it too, I think, on his way home from VK Live in LA. He must have been behind this person who's always there going, really? We have to take our shoes
off?
They
plant those people.
I know. What is up with that? Just to annoy us all. Like, yes, you could. Actually,
those people always have the most complicated shoes, too.
That's true.
It takes me like 15 minutes to like untie their shoe. I'm like, you didn't tie that right. You
oh
know
my
how
gosh.
It just opposite. Just pull the end. Yeah. Ugh.
The ones that I can't stand, I can't deal with people who wear like flip flops or. Shoes without socks, and then they're standing on the floor where, like, 10,000 other people have stood without shoes on earlier that day. That just, like, grosses me out so much. Yeah. It's like, socks, people, wear socks.
Yeah. Anyways.
Tangent. Freshmen are stupid. People get dumb when they go through security at airports.
Both things are true.
Yes. So we loved this little girl's kind of jacket,
one?
The purple one. That
by
was
Robin
really
Tutula.
Oh, right. That's a little car coat that's crocheted. Totally adorable. We're back to Petite Pearls.
Yeah.
And the little...
Tummy Warmer by Angela Tong.
Yes.
Which it, like,
very sweet.
So just a little raglan pullover with like a...
It's like a little vest, yeah.
Yeah. It's got a button opening on the side and a textury pattern.
Kind of honeycomb-ish-esque.
On the tummy and the baby, super cute.
Yes.
Smiley.
Although, and then there's this girl's vest, though, that we both have a slight issue with, which
this
is
one?
The...
This one?
The, it's called Tweety. And it's sort of... low cut a la the St. Pauli girl.
It's
in the
a little
front.
Bustier looking,
it's,
I think,
yeah,
for
it's
a little girl's thing.
And it's on like a 8-year-old girl. It's just, it's a little
I think
weird.
It'd be cute if you brought the neckline up.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's not, and again, it's like, I mean, she's an 8-year-old girl. She doesn't have a bust, but like from a distance, it has, it kind of reads that way, I think. Yeah. So, but it's,
but cute, I like little, the, it's a blue and brown pattern and Cascade on the front. 220 and ultra alpaca tonal. I said it right that time.
There you go.
And it's like a little slip stitch pattern or fair isle pattern.
And then with a plain panel on the front and a plain back.
I like the colors she chose.
Yeah, very cute. And that other little brown. Oh, and you love the
Capuchon.
The it's a little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, I think it's just a tiny little yellow lantern that gets me. Oh, so cute. Because dangerous things are fun.
Yes.
Fire.
Yes. There's this tunic that they're surrounded in ecological wool that's called the Bizzy Tunic, B-I-Z-Z-Y. It's a brown A-line tunic that has, I guess it's attached, a collar, a striped little stockinette striped collar that's really cute. One thing that occurred to me immediately was that there was a very similar design like this done in, I think, an ultra alpaca on a knit scene or an interweave cover within the last, I don't know, year or so.
Yeah.
And even sort of somewhat similar colors. And the other issue is this is done in ecological wool, which is like 478 yards in a skein. And you're using 5 contrast colors where you probably use 22 yards or something.
I mean, she does say a note about it saying, you know, you'd have a great deal left over.
Yeah.
a great deal.
I guess she suggests you could use
scraps.
Right, or hand spun or crayon or something. But, so it's just kind of a funny choice there, but cute nonetheless. Anyway, there's lots of cute stuff there we like.
I love Emmett, the little, it's an orange and tan cardigan vest for little boys. It's so cute.
Is it worked in intarsia? It's like, it's a color work.
Intarsia color
work. Okay, it's intarsia color work to look like cables. Yeah. It's a faux cable.
And that's knit and spun in Chloe's sweater.
It's very cute.
It's very, very cute. Button
up sweater vest. And the,
this one?
The brown one, it has a
Thorgal.
I guess that's also a slip stitch pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, it's textury.
Little textury one with contrast colors that's done in spun and Chloe sweater as well. That's totally cute.
In fall colors, it's brown and orange and yellow and cream.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Love it.
Anyway, and there's some other cute...
fun stuff.
Yeah. A thing about friendship bracelets.
And sewing pillows and lots of cute stuff.
And the new nitty.
And then
nitty
there's a
came
new
out.
Nitty. And I don't, at the risk, we don't want to go through everything.
So, my favorites, Tenny Park.
I really love that one. It is.
It's probably the best use of entrelac I've ever seen in a sweater.
It is a women's fitted, slim, very modern pullover in a sport weight yarn. And then the center panel on the
front is
entrelac in mini mochi. So you're not having to deal with changing colors. It's very lightweight. It's machine washable. It's just a very, like, clean, modern way to do entrelac.
I love the combination of colors that she chose.
Yeah, it's like an eggplant and then fall colors in the front.
Yeah, the thing, when I saw it, I was like, oh, that entrelac's going to pull all crazy. Like, it's going to pull up on the bottom and damp, like... You're going to have fit issues there, but looking at the full picture, it looks beautiful.
And it's, I think it's, there's, it's a small enough panel that the rest of the body really dictates the shape.
Yeah, and I think it creates a really nice neckline. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a lower crew neck. It's a little bit square. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's shown really
three-quarter sleeves.
Three-quarter sleeves, really slim fitting on the model. Just really... clever modern take on entrelac. I think it's really
well
done.
I love that aubergine color.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that one too. I like the Amy Herzog's pattern vignette is another really sweet cardigan with just a small bit of lace detail. Another three-quarter sleeve one.
Yeah.
Very fitted. Very, very nice.
I like the look of this when Samson met Lila.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it two-tone like that. But
so this is
it's kind of vintage style.
So very slim at the waist, but big poofy shoulders. Short
and her
sleeves.
Challenge was to use undyed yarn.
Right. And then it's got a big lace collar, kind of slouchy lace collar.
Yeah, but I like those slightly puffed sleeves.
I guess it's not really lace, is it? It's like a popcorn stitch or something textury.
That's just like little short sleeve pullover. Yeah.
It's
sport weight.
Yeah.
It's that vintage-y style.
It's a vintage-y
thing that I really
style,
like.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see it in one solid color.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would look.
There's a lot. You know, there's some great socks.
I really like Apis dorsata, the hexacomb, the bee kind of scarf. It's a scarf and a shawl.
Yeah. Little honeycomb pattern with some, where the pattern breaks up a little bit for like an isolated little honeycomb motif. Very cute. Really pretty texture.
And it's a different, I feel like it's a different take on that bee theme thing. Uh-huh. It's not just using the honeybee lace pattern.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's textural rather than
But there's some lacy. Fun color work projects. There's a lot of nice stuff. It's a good nitty. A lot of nice stuff in there.
Although I saw Spatterdash and I thought of you and I was like, Jessica's buttons. Her button sewing skills. This is like her personal hell.
I know.
If this was a slip stitch pattern and had all those buttons on it.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14 buttons per mitt.
Yeah, I was like, if only this were a slip stitch pattern and had all those buttons.
Then I would just cry.
I know.
Cry. The hilarious thing, though, is that I love stuff like this, like buttony things with a million buttons on. It's ridiculous. I know. I haven't, I was thinking about it the other day. I haven't, we joke about it, but I haven't had a button fall off of something that I knit in quite some time.
Watch all your buttons are going to
fall. I know. I'm just jinxed myself now. Like, they're all just, right now at home, they're all just leaping off all my hand knits, But there's a lot of cool stuff.
I liked the candles, the Ann Weaver pattern, but then I was like, oh my god, that's knit in fiber canopy, the fiber company canopy worsted.
Yeah, it's a spendy little sweater.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
26 skeins are the main color for the largest size.
And 7 of the contrast color. It's a lot.
Whoa.
And that would be an awfully heavy sweater, too. Yeah. I mean, in addition to expensive. It's, I don't know how many people are really going to knit
it's pretty.
It's going to be knit in a lot of, Red Heart and Karen yarns, I'm sure. That it seems like the mantra of, I don't mean to generalize too much, but I just know, like, nitty readers I know often complain, like, can't it be done in a cheaper yarn? Can't it be done in a cheaper yarn? That a lot of designers have shared that with me, that they're always being prodded for a cheaper alternative. And it's like, yeah, sure, you can knit that in a cheaper yarn, but it's not going to look like canopy worsted. I mean, we got a new book. I don't think you saw it yet. We got a new book in the shop called Weekend Hats that is Cecily Clark McDonald, one of my favorites, and Melissa Labar, the team behind New England Knits. And then it's got a bunch of different designers, and they're all doing hats, obviously.
Yeah.
And like Jared Flood's got a pattern in there.
A copy of that.
Yeah, and there's but my favorite one in the book, I think, is one that Kate Gagnon Osborne from the Fiber Company did in Road to China Light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this little intricate cable hat in one of the reds. It's so pretty. So pretty. And, you know, you just look at it and you think, you could do that in a different yarn, but it just would not be anywhere near as beautiful. We got the Acadia from Fiber Company in the shop. Holy smokes, is that stuff
this lady
gorgeous.
Picked up 2 skeins and just couldn't put it down. She just walked. She was there for like an hour. She just was like cradling it to her chest, like petting it.
She was like,
I'm looking for another sport weight yarn, but I can't. I'm just gonna get this.
Yeah,
she bought 7 skeins.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I walked by the shelf and just went to straighten it up a little bit, and went and I touched like 1 skein, and then I was like, oh. And I kind of stood there and just fondled it.
Well, I didn't see it first. I'm like, something's different over here. It's like, everything's kind of condensed. And I like was like looking over and it was like, oh my god!
Yeah. That's because you don't read our Facebook page.
I'm not on Facebook.
Erin's not on Facebook.
I refuse.
She refuses.
I do.
But if you were on Facebook, you would have known we got Acadia.
Whatever. There every weekend. Find out sooner or later.
Oh, no. All right.
Okay.
So what's tell me about your book.
That I stay up right all night reading.
Yes.
Set This House in Order by Matt Ruff, who's a local author.
Oh.
Author.
Author. What is wrong with you?
I'm drunk.
Like, did you re-pierce your tongue?
Oh, my God. No, so I used to have a lisp. So when I'm tired, I have a really hard time speaking. I was in speech therapy all through elementary school. So it is like, if I get very drunk, which that happens to everyone, but I feel like it happens worse to me because I'm like always stumbling over my tongue. Like, Set This House in Order
by Matt Ruff. Anyway.
Sarah recommended it to me.
I was going to say, I remember someone recommending it. Okay.
And Noah has read one of his other novels. Mm-hmm. He said there were, like, sewer sharks or something. And I was like, that has nothing to do with what do sewer sharks have to do with multiple personality disorder?
Right. Okay, so it's a multiple personality disorder story, right?
Yeah. It's like a love story. So basically, there's the main character, Andy, who knows he has multiple personality disorder, and one of the personalities built this, like, house in his head where the souls are kind of in order. Mm-hmm. Like, they know each other exist. Although there is still big holes in his memory. Like, mm-hmm. they know kind of what led to it.
Mm-hmm.
Of the fracturing of souls. And, like, the main character, Andy, was called out of the lake in this environment that his dad had created to take care of the body.
Okay.
So he's the main character. And then he meets this other woman named Penny. And she's also multiple personality disorder but doesn't know it. And so they work together, and the boss kind of figures out, like, Andy tells the boss, like, he's multiple mm-hmm. personality, but the boss meets the other girl and, like, gets them together, so, like, maybe Andy could help Penny.
Okay.
And, like, craziness ensues because yes. it's, like, different. Not the people who are in charge of the body, but alternate personalities mm-hmm. are interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy, but awesome.
Wow.
Okay. I enjoy it.
That sounds... I mean, he must be a really good author to pull that off.
Yeah.
You know, you really believe in all these different
personalities. He's a New York Times notable author or mm-hmm. something like that. So, for this book.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to just, like... get it all smashed, like, get the book done before I have, like, way too much reading to do for my classes.
Yeah.
So, this is the, oh, no, just handed me Bad Monkeys, also by Matt Ruff.
Huh.
It's got a weird cover.
It does. It's like a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
Huh.
Secret organization devoted to fighting evil.
The Department of the Final Disposition of Irredeemable Persons. Bad Monkeys for short. All right. Well, there you go.
Psychiatric queen. Oh, living crazy. Da da da. Yeah. Excellent. Well, we'll read this.
All right.
Yeah, he lives in Seattle.
Yep.
Cool beans.
It says so right there.
Right there. So that's what I'm reading. Cool. I think I had finished. Yeah, I had finished. That Steve Larson book. Noah's on the third one, and I'm not going to bother reading the other ones.
Just see the movies.
Just me. Whatever.
So I haven't read anything because I suck. But we went to Portland this weekend.
Great.
And the kids were at Powell's and found in the they're in the graphic novel section, and they're like, "Oh, we found this great book called Axe Cop." And I was like, whoa, no, I don't think so. Like, what is this book rated?
Yeah.
And so... they're like, no.
It's like, written. Are you sure those words go together?
Well, no.
Great
he says,
book, Axe Cop.
He said it's written by a 5-year-old. So basically, there's a, I can't remember the author's name. I apologize. He's like a 29-year-old comic book illustrator, and he has a 5-year-old brother. We were wondering how a 29-year-old has a 5-year-old brother. We're assuming some sort of step situation. But so the 5-year-old dictates the story, and he illustrates it. So, there's Axe Cop, and his partner's, like, Flute Cop, and there's, like, a dinosaur with machine gun arms, and, like, they'll, like, fight the bad guys and then go home and play Lego Star Wars on Nintendo DS, and it's, I mean, if you've spent more than about 10 minutes with a 5-year-old boy, it's hilarious. And if you are a boy, I mean, my guys have read and reread this book already. We just bought it on Saturday. And they probably both read it, like, 5 times already. Just howling with laughter. It is quite... I haven't read the whole thing, but I've picked up and read little sections of it. it's quite, quite hilarious because the storytelling is the way 5-year-olds tell stories, you know? And then this, and that, and then he's the thing, and then he pulls out a thing, and then, you know, it's like just that total crazy child way of telling a story, except, but all illustrated, like, full on, like, dinosaur, rah, you know, and all this, it's really cute. It's very funny. It's a Portland, it was a Portland author or illustrator, and it was a staff pick at Powell's, and it looks really hilarious, so... That was cute. And other than that, I have not been reading anything because I suck. But I've been on a little bit of a documentary series, if we can talk movies. I watched the Up series, most of which is available on Watch Instant. It was started, I think, like 1964, where they took a group of children in England who were 7 years old.
I watched and interviewed one of
them,
those.
And then they meet back with them every 7 years, so now they're at like 49 up.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just really fascinating to kind of have this fast forward on people's lives and see where they've ended up and how their, you know, the course of their lives and their relationships. I will say that the filmmaker is, as many people, I would say it's sort of a common theme in the UK, obsessed with class and status and money and mm-hmm. like is very clear about, like, being really intrigued, like, what will the poor children make of themselves, and, you know, and how, you know, and just, you know, the privilege that's showered on the wealthy children, and he is much more interested in it than the subjects are, like, mm-hmm. he's always, I mean, and he's got this very posh, I mean, you don't see him in the film, but has his very posh upper class accent, and talking to, you know, the kids who are raised in the East End or whatever, and they all even come back to him going, like, you are so much more interested in this than I am. I don't think about money at all as much as you do, and, mm-hmm. and he's kind of always digging into or talking about how much they earn or whether they own their own home or just, it's very status, like, that's clearly his measure of accomplishment is, like, what you earn, what you own,
uh-huh.
you know, and he seems to be sort of learning from the subjects in the film, like, oh, there's other things in life that are also important, like, I'm happy, or I have a great family, or whatever, but it's a really interesting series. If you watch the whole thing back-to-back, though, there's a ton of repetition, because each film, they have to kind of remind you, like, this is where this person was.
Everything.
They kind of recap everything, so you see the same footage over and over and over and over again.
Because I think I watched the 35 Up.
Yeah.
I think I watched that one. So I didn't feel like I needed to watch any of the early ones because there's recap.
I just think that it's
montages and things. Yeah. It's fine.
I think it's a really interesting series, though. So that was interesting. And then another documentary that also is very interested, I'd say, in class in England is The Arbor. And I heard about it when it was released, and I was really anxious to see it. It is sort of a pseudo-documentary. All the interviews were recorded, audio-recorded, and then they have actors lip-syncing to the audio recordings of the interview subjects. So everyone you're seeing is an actor, but but the voices are real. So, and it is about, I mean, at first blush, it's about Andrea Dunbar, and she was a playwright who was discovered by the Royal Court Theatre, which is where I studied one summer at the Royal Court Theatre, so mm-hmm. I knew her work already. When she was 15, in like a young author's festival, and she ended up producing a couple of plays at the Royal Court, including one, Bob and Sue and Rita 2, that was made into a film. But she had a crazy, horrible life, and she had three children by three different fathers, and she was a pretty hardcore alcoholic and died when she was 29, I think,
Whoa.
Of an aneurysm in a pub bathroom. So it almost ends up being more about her children, because one of her children, well, anyway, I won't go into all of that, but, you know, they didn't have a very good life. But it's such an interesting and, like, It was just such an interesting conceit of a documentary to have, like, you know, because, like, one of the people they interview is Max Stafford Clark, who is the artistic director at the Royal Court, who is someone I've met, and yet, and then they, like, Max, it says on the screen, Max Stafford Clark, you know, but then I'm looking at someone who's not Max Stafford Clark.
Uh-huh.
It's an actor uh-huh. who's lip-syncing to the voice of Max Clark. It's very strange. And then there's also bits where, like, scenes of some of the plays are being acted out, because her work is all extremely autobiographical. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but it's really interesting. It's a really unusual approach to a documentary, and in the end, it's a pretty, you know, heartrending story of all of their lives, but really interesting. And then the other thing I saw was Bill Cunningham, New York, which is a little documentary about Bill Cunningham, who's like the on-the-street fashion photographer for the New York Times. I mean, now for the New York Times. And just about him. And I remember someone who had seen it when it was still in the theater telling me, like, how he seems almost monk-like, and he really does. He lives in this tiny little apartment, and mm-hmm.
He's not a flashy personality.
No, my gosh. He's just all about, like, seeing beauty in the world, mm-hmm. and it's just such an, and he rides his bicycle all over New York, and he's taking pictures on the street, and going to all these high society events, and it's just, you just love him. I mean, you fall in love with him watching mm-hmm. this movie. It's, and just this interesting group of people around him, and like everybody knows him, and Anna Wintour knows him, and Michael Kors knows him, and everybody, you know, and he's just this like goofy old guy with a camera riding his bicycle around New York, but he, and just so in love with fashion and stylish, interesting people, even if they're not what the fashion industry would call a stylish person. Like, mm-hmm. he's just so much more interested in, like, original, creative people. Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought it was really great. I really loved watching
cool.
it. Cool.
So. That sounds like something I would like.
Yeah.
Your documentary thing, right? I watched a really short documentary. It's like under an hour, called Radio Bikini. Have you seen that?
No, I've never heard
it's
of
about
it.
The nuclear testing at Bikini, at the Bikini Islands.
Right.
And I didn't know how much documentation there had been, because everyone just shows, like, the bomb going off in the water,
right.
or all the palm trees going all crazy. But, like, people were on the island, like, they show all the, a bunch of the film from the military telling the islanders that they were going to have to leave, of when all the ships arrived and they were setting up, of all the...
Sharon's dad was involved
yeah.
in that testing.
Yeah.
Like, he was witness.
So they showed... they were doing live radio broadcasts from Bikini Island and also filming it, like, days before it happened. So they're, like, people acting like they're on shore leave, like, guys in shorts and, like, sailor caps running around, going swimming. Like, it was a vacation. Then they have the tests, and then they show the aftermath, and then they show, like, you know, a few guys in, like, white suits with Geiger counters, and then all these other sailors just, like, crawling all over these burnt-out holes of ships and stuff with, like, deck shoes and shorts and, like, tank tops on. So, and then they had one survivor of radiation poisoning who was giving an interview, like, in the 70s sometime, or late 60s, who was kind of narrating some of it. So it's an older documentary, but it's on Watch Instantly.
Huh.
It was really good. I had no idea, like, they had tons and tons of film that they took.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to miss, like, any angle or anything from when the tests were happening, but there was, like, all this stuff before and all this stuff after that was super interesting, and it's really short. I mean, it's depressing.
Yeah.
And they also interview one of the islanders that was evacuated.
Huh.
So, good stuff.
Interesting.
And the rest of my list of television, season 4 of Big Love.
Yay!
Bill has gotten the candidacy for the Senate.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I should be getting another disc tomorrow. Although,
right.
I'll be in class all night, so I won't be able to watch any of it. I'm in season 2 of Mad Men, which
mm-hmm.
is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And then Heidi, I think she listens, she's a customer at the store, she's Big Heidi on Ravelry, came in a couple weeks ago and was like, yeah, I've been watching Felicity, it's all on Watch Instantly, and I was like, what? what? I was telling her how I watch all of Dawson's Creek for the, like, first time recently, and she's like, yeah. In college, we had, like, Dawson's Creek night.
See, I've never seen Felicity. I feel like I'm supposed to see it.
It's pretty good.
I've also never watched Gilmore Girls or
any of that. I like early Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
They have a lot of crazy references to weird music, which I enjoy because I knew most of it. So, I think that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Yep. That's me.
All right. Well...
I'll get settled in my school schedule.
Yeah. We'll find some time to get together and record. Yeah. Someday.
I'll have my nose buried in the books.
Yeah. Well, hopefully give you a chance to knit some stuff.
Yeah. I'll knit and read at the same time. I think I can do that.
All right.
We'll see.
Okay. So show notes at doublenet.net and our Ravelry group, DoubleKnit Podcast fans. And
we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
When the first cup of coffee is a washer.